Book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And we are going to continue from verse 22 to 24 today. And it's going to be a long study, so, because there's so much in it. Ephesians chapter 4, 22 to 24. And I'm going to continue, and the subject is going to be part 2, the changed lifestyle of the Christian. The changed lifestyle of the Christian. The topic alone could raise the question in our hearts. Just the topic alone. The changed lifestyle of the Christian. As how many of you come to church with a desire to grow in Christ Jesus? Looking for a change. Did you come here today looking for a change? Or did you come here to church as a habit, as a tradition to church, just like an old tradition? Or did you come with prayer and confession, asking God to change your heart, change your mind, that you will become like Christ Jesus? That alone should raise the subject in our mind today. Because if you have been listening very carefully to the last time study, we saw the dividing line of Christianity. Just like the year of the calendar is divided into two. There's BC and AD. BC stands for before Christ. AD stands for Anno Domini, means in the year of the Lord. So even the calendar, the worldly calendar, the universal calendar, is divided into two, either BC or AD. In the same way, in our personal life, there is a dividing point in the Christian's life. There's a BC before Christ, and there is an after Christ, a life after Christ. There is a dividing line, even our personal life. There's a point where the old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. We call a new creation. You are born again. You became a new person in Christ Jesus. You experience a new lifestyle, a new conduct, a new behavior. In the beginning, when God created Adam, Adam was perfect in God's creation. There was no sin in him. Adam was holy and righteous before God. He was created in the image of God. But when Adam sinned against God, that image was broken as he violated the law of God. And we see he became unholy, unrighteous. The image was shattered. The relationship was broken between Adam and God. The result was sin, and death came to all humanity. Because all humans were born in sin. Now, when Jesus Christ enters somebody's life, he becomes a changed person. That person becomes a changed person when Jesus comes to our life. The old lifestyle is going to be changed. The old behavior is going to be changed. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. What do you mean by put off your old self? We need to remember there are two natures. Basically, there are two natures. The number one, the nature that comes from Adam. Number two, the nature that comes from Jesus Christ. Everybody, our BC days, and all the unbelievers, they had the nature of Adam. Just like there are two natures, there are two births. Either you're born of this earth, or you're born from the Spirit of God. So there is first born of Adam. When you say born of Adam, the Adamic nature is our sinful nature, the depraved nature of man. Every person is born under Adam, and they're all sinners. And this is the nature of the unbeliever, as I said. This is called the old self, as Ephesians 4:22 says, but put off your old self. That's the Adamic nature. That's your earthly nature. Okay? So that's your fleshly nature. The Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ comes, we have the new nature. Alright? The spiritual nature. So Ephesians 4:22, when he says that put off the old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, that putting off the Adamic nature. When Jesus comes, there is a spiritual birth, a second birth. Okay? You become a new person. So, now, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are a new person, as you have a new nature, then why is it Apostle Paul is telling us to put, if you are in Christ Jesus, you have a new nature, right? So he's writing to the Christians, right? Then why is he telling us put off the old nature? Because, somebody might say, well, we have a new nature. Why is he telling us to put off the old nature again? Now, remember, although we have a new birth in Christ Jesus, the old Adamic nature is still with us in this flesh. Okay? Old Adamic nature is still in us, is with us in this flesh. But one day, God is going to give us a new body. And when He gives us a new body, that's not going to be this earthly body, that's going to be a heavenly body. Alright? Then we will be complete. Absolutely complete. As for now, we have to do with this old tent, this old nature, this flesh which is still sinful. That's why he's telling you and to us, put all this old flesh away. Crucify this flesh, Apostle Paul said. The old nature belongs to what? To our former conduct of our life. To our previous, our BC days. Previously, when you became a Christian, you had a different lifestyle. They are corrupt, deceitful, and to the soul, and the desires of the flesh should be put off. Now let us see some. Now if I ask you a question, remember those days that you were very sinful? How many can you remember? Wow, I was a totally sinful, wicked person before God. And some of you might say, well, I can't remember anything. Where's the change here? So, if I ask you a question, remember those sinful days. How many of you really can say the sinful nature, what you had? Well, let's take a scripture that goes along with Ephesians, okay? Turn to Colossians chapter 3 verse 5. Colossians chapter 3 verse 5. And it says here, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Alright? Remember, everybody, we were born of the earth. So, we need to be born again from the Spirit of God, from heaven. So, we're talking about the BC days, this fleshly nature, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. And what are they? Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Now, let's elaborate a little bit on that. It's important because we need to understand our old self. Christians should not live in sexual immorality. Unbelievers live in sexual immorality. Sex is everywhere today. Full blown, on television, on movies, everything, sex, magazines, sex is on commercials. Everywhere you go, they put sex. And some might say, well, I'm not like any other unbelievers. I don't get into sexual immorality. But many are watching worldly movies that you will see nothing but immorality, adultery, husband cheating wife, wife cheating husband, immoral movies. Now, when you go to see in reality, you are watching because you love to see these things. Your heart, the evil heart, the flesh wants to see you enjoying watching that. That is just like partaking in immorality, same as what you're doing. Now, remember, these are produced by men, sinful men, who have a depraved heart. And they are showing their imaginations. And if they are produced by men who have a depraved heart with sinful, wicked hearts, who have their imaginations put in a new movie, why should we watch them? As Christians. And these kinds of movies are deceitful to their souls. That's what the Word of God says. Now, what is impurity? Impurity is anything that is not holy. They are unholy passions, evil desires. What is covetousness? Covetousness is anything excessive greediness. Okay? Earthly passion, desires of the flesh. Something that you want to have it. Again, Apostle Paul talks about anger. And we don't take that very seriously. If you take anger, anger leads to another sin. Another sin. Another sin. And I'm going to show you how anger leads to many sins. And some, if you remember, and some of you had a burst of anger before you, in your BC days. Now, you can have patience. Praise God. You know? And anger is like being a hot-tempered person. So what happens is anger can turn into wrath. When you're angry, you're totally in your flesh. Your flesh is taking total control. So when you're angry, it will result into fight, into arguments, sometimes in murder. And we see this all the other most of the time. Now, Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, it says that, verse 5 says that, but you should put them away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, they all go together. Now, if you see anger, okay, then comes malice. Malice means what? You want to injure somebody. That is malice. You want to hurt somebody. That is malice. So when you're angry, the first thing is you want to hurt somebody. You want to take revenge. That is malice. Then there is slander. What is slander? Slander is telling a false report of somebody. That's what anger does. Then when people get angry, you become wrathful. When you're wrathful, you will speak profanity. Right? You will speak profanity. How many times when the pressure is on, when things are going fine, you can praise God and everything. But when the pressure comes in, what comes out of your mouth? Profanity. Filthy language. This is sinful behavior. In wrath is, you know, you can do all kinds of things. The flesh can take total control. So Apostle Paul says, because of these things, the wrath of God is going to come to those who are living in disobedience. So we need to take that very seriously. We need to have that change in us. This is the Word of God, and the Word of God can do the change. Verse 23, Ephesians 4:23 says, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. To be renewed. The word renew comes from the word renovation. Okay? Let me put it in a picture here. Adam, who represents Adam represented all mankind. He was holy, blameless before God. There was no sin. So here we have the house of Adam. Okay, just picture the house, a beautiful house of Adam. No sin, perfect house of Adam. What happened to this house as a result of sin? That house was ruined because of sin, and the divine wrath was upon that house, right? And the death was there in that house. The house was ruined, but by God's grace and mercy, He renovated some of that house, the elect. He renovated. He renewed us. That's what happened. So when we become born again, He does a renovation in us. He renews us. The author of renovation is the Holy Spirit. So our mind needs to be reminded of this through the Word of God, what He has done. So once you are renewed, once you are renovated, you're holy. The importance is to live the holy life, not in our own spirit, but by the Spirit of Christ that is in us. Okay? Now, what does it mean by the spirit of your mind? Ephesians 4:23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That means not only with respect to our physical appetites and our physical desires, but also it's talking about renewed, our souls should be craving for the Word of God. It should be renewed. Renovation is a daily renovation. Okay? It's not one time act that happened, but it's a daily renovation. Alright? So you have a spirit controlled by the Holy Spirit, and we need to be renewed daily. And how can that happen? Yes, the Word of God. Now, the question is, how were we renewed? How were we renewed? That's the question. Colossians 3:10. Colossians 3:10 says, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. You can see Ephesians, Colossians, man, they go so closely, very parallel. And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator, which is renewed in the knowledge. Okay, it says here, renewed in knowledge. Our new life consists of knowledge. It doesn't mean any kind of knowledge. We are talking of spiritual knowledge with God. Before we didn't have no knowledge of God, no knowledge of Christ, no knowledge of salvation, no knowledge of forgiveness, absolutely nothing. Now we are renewed by this knowledge, what we receive. So knowledge, how do you get your spiritual knowledge? Okay, the new man who renovated, who has an appetite for God, we get this spiritual knowledge by reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God. That's how we've got this knowledge. And a lot of people, they have absolutely no knowledge at all. That is, you know, I wonder if they are Christians or not, because the Bible says we need to have a knowledge of God. That happens by reading the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit, He puts a fire in our souls and put a light in us so that we will walk in that light, that we will be transformed as a whole man, and that we will be like Christ Jesus. Now, we are renewed after the image of God. Colossians 3:10 says, renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Now, that is really, really important. One of the persons who really kind of elaborated on the image of God and gave a good explanation is John Calvin. Alright? Now, if you see in Genesis 1:26 and Genesis 1:27, you will see how God created man in his own image. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 7 also says, "For a man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and the glory of God." So there are scriptures that the man is created in the image of God. Now, first of all, what do you mean by the image of God? Calvin really showed this or explained this, the meaning of the image of God. Image of God has to do with our reflection, okay? It's a mirror, okay? For instance, image of God has to do with the reflection of man's soul, alright? His soul, heart and mind, it becomes a mirror of God. This is where man is different from all the other animals. Man is made in the very image of God, means man is a mirror of God's divine glory. Man is a mirror of God's divine glory. It's an image. God's, we can see God's, His knowledge, His holiness is in us. It's a mirror to other people. Alright? Even to the animals, when God says in Genesis 1:26, "Let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the heavens and the livestock and all the earth." And here we see even man becomes a mirror of God's divine glory, ruling over his creation. And we, that man becomes a mirror, it means that we are God's representatives, his deputies, okay? That we would communicate, God has communicated to us, and that we would communicate what God has given to other human beings. We become a mirror. Jesus said in a way that we are light to the world, salt of the earth. So when Adam sinned against God, this image was deformed and destroyed. Image was corrupted. Man became slaves to sin. Okay, God's holiness and knowledge was not reflected to other people, but sin was reflected. But God in His mercy sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus, if you look at this very carefully, if you're thinking here, Jesus is the very image of God. He is the exact image of God. Understand? Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4 says that. 2 Corinthians 4 4 says, "In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of God, or of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." So Christ is the image of God. Another scripture, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Hebrews 1, 3. I'm reading with ESV, so I don't know what your version has. Hebrews 1, 3. "He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature." Wow. He is the radiance and the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And, you know, so it shows that Jesus is the very image of God. Alright? Now, how did we become, when we are born again, now we become the image of God. How did that happen? How did that happen? Think about it. Now, it's How did that happen? It can happen only through Christ. Only through Christ. Christ, He imputed His righteousness, His holiness, His perfectness to us. When we were renovated back into the image of God, we are conformed to the image of Christ. So through Christ, now, we bear the image of God. We have a new heart and a new spirit, and we reflect like a mirror of goodness. The righteousness of God, the knowledge of God, the holiness of God, as we bear the image of God. Okay? Now, let me give you one more scripture so you can understand better. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. This image of God is only to the elect, not to every person. Unbelievers will not have that. Only to the elect. Romans 8, 29. Those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brethren, many brothers. Wow. That shows that only, see, what we are speaking here is when there's a change, right? The change comes in Christ Jesus, then we bear the goodness of God to everybody else. Now, if there is no change in a person, then that person doesn't have the image of God. Many people can say they are Christians. Okay, you can put your own image and say, I'm a Christian. But the question is, are you really a Christian that you will see that in your fruits? Important to understand. New birth is a new pattern of God as we have a new life in Christ Jesus. Now let's go to Ephesians 4:24. And to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So we should not go back to your old nature, as we are a new person in Christ Jesus. The outward man decays daily as we are getting closer and closer and closer to the grave. Daily we are getting closer to the grave. But the inward man is renewed daily as we are renovated daily. We are renewed daily as we should grow in His holiness and righteousness and in His knowledge. Now, let me ask you a question. What is more important? Righteousness or holiness? Or which comes first, priority-wise? Holiness or righteousness? I'm asking these tough questions. Now let me give an answer, general answer, just a general question, general answer. When you are holy, you will be naturally righteous. Now, holiness refers to the first part of the Ten Commandments. Okay? That your vertical relationship with God. That is holiness. This has to do with your vertical position with God. It is your purity before God. Your purity before God. Our devotion before God. Alright? Our worship and service before God. The righteousness refers to the second part of the commandment. Our uprightness before man. This is our horizontal position before humanity. Alright? John Calvin exposed this very good in his theology. Now, Luke chapter 1, verse 24. Luke 1:74. The song of Zacharias. Luke chapter 1:74. Luke 1:74 says that we being delivered from the hand of our enemies, that we might serve Him without fear in holiness and righteousness before Him all our days. So serving, you know, when you have holiness, that you are holy before God, that you are separated unto God, you will be righteous naturally. A lot of people, on the other hand, trying to get a righteousness, but they cannot be holy inside. That's the other way around, which is the wrong way. Holiness is our worship to God, and righteousness is our conduct before men, in short. Now, you heard the word of God in purity today. So, it's important that you need to pray. Once you hear the word of God, we need to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, I heard your word and I want to be changed. Now, did you understand everything what I said? It's so easy, right? It's easy to understand. You know, it's nothing very different. There was some theology in this, okay? But it was elaborated in an easy way so that you could understand. Of course, when I read the institutes, I read a lot of Calvin's Institute when I go through this, different subjects and so forth. Hard to understand, I'll tell you. I got to read many, many times. But there's so much in it. So what I do is I break it down to your level so you can understand. But there's so much in it as we understand the Word of God. So we need to pray that our souls will be changed by the mighty power of God. So the Lord Jesus, you know, He can make a new person in Christ Jesus. So we need to say what? No to ungodliness. How many times when you get out from this room, you go back to your room, or when you go back to your world, you are by yourself. You are by yourself. A lot of times you think that, well, I'm the king of my life now. I'm by myself. I can do anything I want to. That's not the way we should think. Because if you're a true Christian, you're not by yourself. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to Christ, who paid the price for you. He's the one who paid the price for you. He's the one who saved you. He's the one who took the guilt away. He's the one who died and took the sacrifice on our behalf. So you don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to Christ. So this is where we need to understand. So when we go, when sin comes, temptations are going to be already there because of this flesh is evil, right? So that's why Apostle Paul many times in the book of Romans chapter 6, if I have time I can go through that, chapter 6 is a good book to read, chapter 6 talking about how we need to reckon our sins and this sin needs to be crucified daily. Okay, before we were slaves to sin, but now we are in Christ Jesus. So we need to have a different outlook, different mind. You know, it's always good when you wake up in the morning. Do you wake up hungry for the Word of God? Are you, when you wake up, do you wake up, well, getting late to go to work, you know, I got this to do and that to do, and you get in your flesh right away. And then you go to sleep in your flesh. That's not the way Christians, you know, if you get up late or whatever like that, at least you have an alarm clock so you can get up a little early and you can get into the Word of God. Meditate. Take a scripture along with you before you go to work and meditate on that scripture. So important. The Word of God is the one that can change. And we need to be changed. And our change is not a change that says, well, I'm changed now. As a full stop. That's not a change. A change is the change is going to be there until you die. It's not going to stop and say, now I'm a Christian. I'm done. I can close this book.
That's not it.
Until you die, you are going to be changed. Now, if you're a true Christian, the more older you get, the more wiser you will be. The more older you get, the more stronger you will be. A true Christian. The more older you get, the more fruits you will see. But there are a lot of people who, the more older they get, the more sinful they are. And the more their hearts get hardened. That's the opposite. That's not the way it should be. That's why Apostle Paul says in other scriptures, by this time you should be teachers. But still you need the milk. Okay? So understand this and take it very seriously, the Word of God. Alright? That is, it's good for our souls. It's profitable for us. And we can, you know, God can be glorified by our lives. And remember, if you didn't listen to anything today, remember one thing, that you, if you're a Christian, you bear the image of God. Remember that. Okay, let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you for the Word of God. So powerful, at the same time, there's so much conviction in the Word. And Lord God Almighty, cause us to really take this Word, and that we will stay closer in this Word in our hearts, Lord. Let us treasure your Word in our hearts. Let us hide it in our hearts, Lord. Let us embrace your Word. And cause us not to just say that we love you with our lips, like the Pharisees and the religious leaders, but Lord, cause us to have a living love relationship with our hearts, that we would passionately love you more than anything else on this earth. That we would put you as number one, Lord, in our lives. We know, Lord, there's so much pressure on this earth, especially these days, as we are living in a rush type computerized world. So we pray and ask, Lord, that we would just take it easy, that we would relax, sit down, and take the Word first, that we will not be like the unbelievers, Lord. Even if there's a rush, we are living in a rush type of a world, in a rat race type of a world, but still that we can walk on water as we have Christ Jesus in us. Lord God Almighty, we pray and ask, Lord, that you would deliver us from these evil ways, Lord, that we would not be conformed to the world, but our minds will be renewed according to your will, Lord, that we will walk according to your ways. We ask, Lord God Almighty, that we would take your Word seriously to our hearts. And Lord, that we would practice it daily. Otherwise, it's in vain what we have learned. We pray, Lord, that we would be a blessing to somebody else. That the image of God, the divine glory of God that is in us, will reflect to other people. And they will see our true Christianity as because what we speak in our tongues, how we act, how we behave, that we will not speak and act and live like the ungodly. And that will be a blasphemy against God. That will be a stumbling block to the other people, because we say that we are Christians, but we are bearing not the image of God. So, Father, help us to bear the image of God as we become holy, as we are holy, Lord, in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We pray, Lord, that you would, the Spirit of God, would lead us and guide us in your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.